Good evening and welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is Jenny Stearns. Stearns is an accomplished singer, songwriter, and musician. She's a founding member of the band Donna the Buffalo, and as a solo artist, she's released several well-received CDs, including 2002's Sing Desire. Her most recent CD is called Birds Fall. Welcome to the show, Jenny.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, I want to know how you got interested and introduced to music.
Oh, I was 14. My brother played the banjo, and it's interesting because I grew up outside of Boston, and he had records from a band called the Highwood String Band, and they're from around here, but this is in the Boston area a long time ago when I first heard them. So it's interesting. It's come full circle,
That's great.
To living here. Taking a train into Cambridge Square every weekend with my friend and buying albums and probably the normal way people are introduced, it slowly filters in.
And I understand that you wrote your first song when you were 14. Now,
yes.
What caused you to start writing at that particular moment in time?
Oh, I think maybe being a music listener and feeling inspired, needing a place, a format to put my thoughts. Mm-hmm. Music just seemed like a natural place for it.
A natural outlet for
you. Yeah.
Did you remember what your first subject was?
Yeah, it was not a song. I do remember it, but it's about the moon rising. You know, it's this classic, romantic, idealistic.
Well, you know what? That's a step above because most young women are writing confessional stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you were already in the genre because love songs are everywhere.
Yeah,
still,
that's
right. They never go out of style.
Yeah.
Now, I read in an interview that you're often afraid of the subjects you find yourself, writing about. To explain that, what did you mean by that?
I'm not, I'm trying to remember the context of that.
You said that you're afraid of some of the subjects that come out of you, but you do them anyway.
Yeah, I see. It's maybe it's a subject that's difficult. I seem to have no fear of wanting to pursue if there's been a death in a family or a good friend's gone through a hard time or I've gone through a hard time. I think I get a little concerned. Being a performer, you're putting the songs out there. Eventually, I know I'll probably perform this song. So what does that mean to put that out to other people? Am I asking them to understand what I'm going through? Am I asking them anything?
Mm-hmm. You know? And did you feel like you're making yourself maybe a little bit too vulnerable by doing
some
of this stuff?
I guess it's more of a responsibility that I feel.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Do I portray this correctly? You know, a good friend of mine was saying that even though you haven't experienced what you're writing about, you actually probably have it in some format and somewhere inside of you, you can relate to what that person's gone through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you feel responsible almost for speaking for other people, perhaps, huh?
I guess so. I'm a little careful. And my songs tend to be a little vague as far as I'm not saying who it's about or even what it's about. So people seem to grab what they can from them.
Yeah, your stuff seems very intimate to me.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh, and filled with feelings instead of concrete imagery,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it gives people a chance to say it's about whatever they think it's about, right? Like an abstract painting.
Yeah, it's interesting because the last album I decided to be a little more concrete in some ways. And I also feel sometimes I thought I was writing about other people, but it was really about me, in some of the past albums. So in this one, it's a little more straight from the heart.
You're talking about Birds Fall.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
How long did it take you to write that?
There are a couple older songs, and didn't take too long, just maybe one summer,
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Now, I want to talk about the fact that you were a founding member of Donna the Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where you first started performing, or had you been performing solo or with other bands before that?
A few years before that, I performed with a woman. Her name's Sue Gaynor. She's from Oneonta. And I lived up in Syracuse, and we got together and shared our love of music. She was an inspiration for me. And so in Syracuse is where I started performing out. And then with Donna the Buffalo was really the first band that I was in that performed out.
Mm-hmm. So when you first started performing, you were doing solo?
Solo or duo.
Yeah. And what was that experience like? Was it exciting the first time you got up on the stage, or were you scared to death?
It was nerve-wracking. It is. It's because, you know, you were bringing up that I started playing a long time ago. I didn't really have the intention of performing. You know, it was more of just writing and then meeting other people and then other people suggesting, well, why don't you do this or that, you know.
Yeah.
So
I think it's hard for people to just write now. I mean, they did the same thing with Carole King. There were a lot of people who started out as writers, and people said, get up on the stage. We need to hear your interpretation of these wonderful songs that you're writing. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't think you can get away with just being a writer anymore.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what do you get from the audience when you're performing?
Is it
a give and take?
Absolutely. I mean, you never know, but the last few years, every show that I've done, I've just had the best time. It's been really inspirational. I just don't seem to walk away. Who was it? I was telling someone, I didn't want to seem arrogant, but it's every show has been better than the last, and not so much of what I think the audience gets from it, but what I get from it.
Uh-huh. So do you feel like it's a real give and take? Or do you feel like you're really speaking to people and they feel the same from you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Because your stuff really is incredibly intimate, which brings me to the fact that I want to play an excerpt from your wonderful 2002 CD, which I absolutely love.
Thank you.
It's called Sing Desire, and I want to play a cut called County Road.
Okay, thanks.
Now, tell us the influences of that song. I love that piece.
It's funny because I live on a county road. I think it talks about the mysteries of what you can do with what is out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wondering what people are doing when they've gone down that road, mm-hmm. or they're going to go home to dinner, or, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an interesting piece, and it's a little bluegrassy.
Uh-huh, yeah.
What would you call it? What do you think your influences really are?
Well, I guess that song really does show a lot of the different, you know, that's my ex-husband, Richie Stearns, plays amazing on that title.
Oh, the banjo's gorgeous, yep.
And so there's that acoustic feel that I love, the stand-up bass, the simplicity of the song, and Chad Crum was a co-producer on that recording. And when I came up with that chorus, I hadn't come up with a chorus yet.
Hmm.
Obviously, you can tell how simple it is. But we like that simplicity.
Yeah, that speaks well for that genre of music, too.
Mm-hmm.
It almost cries for simplicity.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Sing Desire actually got quite a bit of attention from especially European countries.
Uh-huh.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I know I've done a fair amount of touring, especially in the Netherlands, and there is a huge appreciation and love of American, like Americana music, music that has more of a country base to it. And the venues that you play, they're just set up as good listening rooms.
Mm-hmm. They're intimate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
And people do seem to really get attached to the music. I don't like to speak too generally. And also, I think the overall setup there. I was on national TV over there and national radio. Over here, it's impossible to get listened to in the national market,
yeah,
unless you have connections or you're on a major label.
Yeah, I know. That is the case, and it's such a shame. There are so many talented musicians.
Yeah.
I'm amazed by how much talent is in this area.
Yeah, I think bottom line is it's just easier to I sent a CD to a magazine over there. I thought it was just an internet magazine. It turned out it was a hard copy. And the guy said, well, I'm interested in the people you mentioned, Mary Lorson, the Horseflies. I'll give a listen. In 2 months, it had gotten a 4-star review, and then distribution followed.
That's amazing.
In this country, I don't think I could just send something to the head guy at some magazine, you know.
Oh, I know. I mean, the bottom line here is money.
Mm-hmm.
And there, you know, a lot of European countries, I lived in the Netherlands for several years.
Okay.
And a lot of European countries, the bottom line is still creativity. I mean, the governments even support artists in some of those countries. So it's an entirely different
situation. Yeah, it's very,
situation.
So that seeps through over here. If they're interested in you, then.
Yeah. Did you notice any major differences between audiences in Europe and audiences here? Are they more polite in Europe? Are they more enthusiastic? What is your take?
Absolutely. More polite. And they just, as soon as you get on stage, they are there. They're going to give you a chance. And it happens in this country, too. And it can go city to city or just venue to venue.
Yeah, you know. I would think people would be respectful to especially female singer-songwriters,
and
unlike rockers maybe that might
depends
stir
on the type
up
of
some
music.
Kind of a different atmosphere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you record as a solo artist now. I know you used to be with Dawn of the Buffalo, but you collaborate with a lot of musicians.
Mm-hmm.
How does that collaboration work? Do you come with a concrete song in mind, or do you hire musicians and you all decide how it's going to be arranged?
Well, it's funny. I've had a band for years, but I do mostly solo projects. So people who play with me understand that when I go to the studio, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm bringing the band that I've been playing with. So I'm trying to listen to what each song wants, you know, just focus on that, which to me is a much easier process.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm impressed with bands who go into the studio and come out with a successful record, because I think that would be difficult for me.
Mm-hmm. Do you like the process of the recording studio, or do you prefer live performing?
I like both. I think I love the studio. I think what I don't like about the live so much, it's not the audience, it's not being in front of an audience, but it's having to deal with the venues that you play in.
What do you mean?
Or dealing with just the frustrations of that process that can happen.
Oh, like people drinking and getting rowdy.
Just that, or maybe the owners of the venue, or just the sound person. I mean, there are a lot of great ones out there. You just never know what that experience is going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, especially I feel like I play more of the it's not, it's very high end. It's not like I'm being scooped away to the dressing room and, you know, which has happened. But
yeah. Do you have to deal with groupies?
In some form, somewhat, not really. I mean, mostly people just let me know what they think. And sometimes I'm wondering, are you editing what you're saying to me? You know, or maybe you should think of that. I don't know. I think the older you get, mature musician also develops a huge sense of humor, you know.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to take anything too personally.
Yeah.
But you don't want to miss out on those gems and people are telling you. You might be walking out and you're late. I've got 2 kids, you know, I own a record store. Someone might grab me by the shoulder and I'll just turn around, and then they might say the most profound thing that's going to inspire me for another week or two. You know, you just never know.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I guess that's the give and take that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, I would assume so. Did you ever have people coming up to you asking if they can cover your songs? Do you have people covering your songs?
Yeah, a fair amount.
Uh-huh. And name some of the people.
I mean, have. I'm thinking of just people, too, who want to teach their 8-year-old kid, you know, songs, too. But I wrote a song for Jim Miller, Dawn of the Buffalo, that they covered. Sim Redman has covered a song, Annie Burns.
Oh.
And through the magic process of the internet, I just sang on this guy, Thomas Denver Johnson from Sweden. I've not met him, but I'm singing on his new album because we found each other somehow, and we thought, well, hey, let's see what it sounds like. So.
Wow.
And I was saying to him, boy, I wish you were in the studio with me. And he goes, well, isn't it great that we can actually do this, you know?
Yeah, that is the magic. Mm-hmm. It really is a connector, isn't it?
And
the magic of the internet.
And Mary Lorson, too. She's a best friend and an absolute hero to me.
Yeah, she was on the show a few weeks ago.
Yeah, she's brilliant.
She's great. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, I have to bring this up. I find it really interesting that you went to Syracuse University to study illustration.
Yeah.
And you must have gotten the call of music because you quit quite soon after.
I did. Part of me regrets that maybe I could have stuck it out there, you know, but that's when I met my friend Sue, and yeah, I got pretty swept up by it.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, my guest is Jenny Stearns. She's a singer, songwriter, and musician. Now, I want to go back to this illustration stuff, because illustration to me almost seems to have the same goals as music. Mm-hmm. Do you think they're intertwined? I mean, composition, color. I was thinking that's sort of interesting that you had started out being interested in illustration.
Yeah, I guess. I think they are. I mean, I think there are a lot of musicians who are also artists, mm-hmm. and there are a lot of artists that are, you know, maybe more, and I say that it's more of a full-time thing if mm-hmm. they do one. Some people can put the same amount of energy into every project, but I think the bottom line is same with a writer or poets. It's mm-hmm. Artists. That's the core.
Just the bottom line, mm-hmm. yeah. You know, people are always amazed at what a really good artist Joni Mitchell is,
speaking of
a great singer-songwriter as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who are your influences?
Well, if you go way back, it's Tom Waits, Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, Ricky Lee Jones, even Gordon Bach.
And all those people, you don't have to go too far back because most of them are still performing.
They are, but I mean, for me, that was the initial.
Yeah.
And then even going into Talking Heads, Psychedelic Furs, The Replacements, I am sort of all over the board, mm-hmm. you know. And
I don't hear any country or bluegrass people.
That's where the Highwood String Band,
uh-huh.
and I think further down the line, especially with Dawn of the Buffalo, sort of being a little more open to Dolly Parton, Emmylou Harris.
I love Emmylou myself.
Yeah.
Now, I want to play another piece from your most recent CD. Your most recent CD is called Birds Fall, and I want to play this piece called When You Go.
Okay.
Now, Jenny, this piece, it called up like a woman sitting at a bar at the end of the line. You sound so sad and filled with, I don't know, give up in that. Talk to me about where that came from.
Well, it was not a personal experience, though it was a friend of mine who I just felt like this, her husband, I just wanted her.
But her husband
let
had
him
left
go. But you know, somehow, or that partly, I think when she was ready to let him go, he would keep coming back. You know. So that was part of it. That was an inspiration. Another inspiration was the line, "Don't forget to leave when you go," and this is the part where I always think of country musicians. I think they have the hardest time having to write a good song. There's so much thought put into it. You know, mm-hmm. and so I thought, okay, that's a great line. Now I need to write a song around that.
That's a fascinating song, and you sound so pained in that thing. I really could.
Well, I pull from personal experience now, too, with that. So it's interesting. When I first wrote it and performed it, I could sing it for this other person. And I was concerned, too, if she's ever in the audience, how is she going to feel,
Does she know that you wrote that for her?
No, she doesn't know that. But I do know that she said, I cried the entire time when I heard that song, but it was absolutely beautiful. She didn't look at me like a deer in the headlights and run out the back door, which allowed me to,
Yeah. Well, it seems to me the line, don't forget to leave when you go, has to do with the person singing, right?
Yeah.
Don't stay in my system.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a gorgeous song.
Thank you.
It reminds me a little bit of Tom Waits.
Oh, really?
And especially the sound of your voice, too, that pained conveyance. Uh-huh. I mean, even if you were singing about Mary Sunshine with that voice that you were using, it's like last call.
I know. I have so many people coming up to me. Oh, I cried the whole time, and I said, I'm sorry. But,
Tell me where the title of your latest CD came from, Birds Fall. That's such a sad title if you think about it.
That song was funny. The other title, a lot of times I'll teach people the song and I'll put it on a disc for them, so you need a title. So Pale and Gray was the original title, which is not much more pleasant than the new title. and so my son and I were driving up through the White Mountains, and it was raining, and we were listening to that song. I said, I need to come up with a different title. And we just, that image, I think, so he came up with it, too. He was 13 at the time, and So
the word Birds Fall.
Yeah, and I don't think of titles as too precious. I try not to put too much meaning into the title, because it's really the song that's important, except that title. And I ended up using that title as the title for the album. So,
I was thinking maybe you'd seen a bird fall out of the sky, because when a bird falls, it means it's dying or dead.
Yeah. Well, I think for the song, that's what that song is about, losing somebody.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Now, you're not afraid to venture into the political realm.
Mm-mm.
So what's on your mind in the spring 2007 right now?
As far as...
Do you have any political thoughts or political songs coming out of you? There's so much disillusionment and the war, endless war. And
the one political song that I need to keep working on was during the New Orleans with Katrina. And it was a song that I wrote basically directly to George Bush, wondering how he would feel if his daughters were down there during that time, So that's where I go when I get political. I get personal, and I want people to feel what other people are feeling going through those traumatic situations.
Mm-hmm. So what's this song about Katrina? Is it something that you're going to play?
I think I need to finish it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it's you know what it is? It's political, but it stems from anger, usually the political songs of frustration.
Well, what are some of the lines? Can you share any with us?
No. Sorry, I can't, because it's been a little while. It'll be on the next album for sure.
We'll be hearing it, maybe.
Just having to say it out loud is an inspiration to finish the song.
Now, you ended up on a Starbucks Hear Music CD. Did that open doors for you? What was that about?
It did. I had a manager at the time who he would just come up with all these different opportunities, and he just put on his friend's desk, who is the person in charge of the music, and I was shocked, because actually that album wasn't even out yet, and it's definitely...
What went on that CD anyway? All I heard
that was Sing Desire.
The whole album?
No, just the title track.
Did you hear from people after that?
I did. And I was very... actually, Nina Simone, she was still living. She was on that. And Nora Jones and Wilco and Los Lobos. So.
Wow, what a nice company.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It definitely opened some doors.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, do you ever help people with their own songwriting? Do you give people tips on how to write? And whether you do or don't, I'd like to hear about how you go about writing.
Right. Well, I think what I would tell somebody is just, same with singing, just have faith in yourself and that try not to mimic other people. Mm-hmm. Just I tend to go from an emotion and, it stems from somewhere, and just, I just think people should... Everyone is individual, and they all have something unique to say.
Mm-hmm. And so you tell people not to be afraid to say.
Don't be afraid. And when people say to me, I can't sing or I can't write, I think, you can, actually.
Uh-huh.
And, you know.
Well, you're wrong about the singing. I can't sing, but I would never say I can't write.
Yeah, but do you sing?
I try to, but everybody tells
own?
Me to shut up.
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, see, when you do it on your own, it's. Do you feel good? Or do you judge yourself when you're...
Actually, I think I'm better at what I'm doing right now, speaking and then...
Yeah, I guess, you know what, for me it comes pretty naturally, but I just don't want people to feel bad, you know?
So when you are thinking about doing a song, does the music come first or do you start writing lyrics? How does that work?
The music comes first. I'll sit down with my guitar and just start playing something. And then pretty soon the melody, so the voice will come. And then a thought of where it should go comes. And I'm able to record that usually these days pretty quickly, so I can get basically the essence, the core of the song, the origin, then go back and fine-tune it.
Uh-huh. Have you ever put any songs away that no one is ever going to hear?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think you'll ever...
Well,
what were the
projects? Songs that weren't even finished.
Ah.
Yeah.
But were there subjects that you touched on that you thought, oh, God, I can't bring this out into the public?
Well, maybe even that song, When You Go, initially. It had to be written, and it took me a while. I had to talk to some people and feel okay about putting it out there.
Yeah. Now, can we look forward to any gigs? Are we going to see you perform anytime in the next few months, this summer? Or?
Yes, I'll be at the Grassroots Festival, and I think tonight, May 24th. I'll be playing down in Ithaca.
Okay, great. How can people contact you if they want to buy CDs?
I have a website, jennysterns.com, and it's Jenny with an IE, and that you can buy CDs directly through there.
And you can also read Jenny's music diary,
uh-huh.
if she ever writes in it.
Right, I know.
You go for sometimes
I've been a little, I know.
But I think it's interesting that you do that. That's a great way to communicate with your
well,
public.
Well, thank you. Thanks.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Jenny, we have run out of time. I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Trish. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
Thanks.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. We are supported in part by Finger Lakes Arts Grants and Services. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. We'll be back next week. I'm Tish Perlman.